Welcome to Cloud Nine, the Netmums podcast mini-series brought to you by Aldi Mamiya. This is the podcast for those quiet, blurry hours of parenthood, when you're up feeding, rocking, or scrolling at 3 a.m, and it can feel like you're the only one awake. Cloud Nine is here to remind you that you're not alone. Every episode, we hear from a well-known mum about the beautiful and the challenging parts of those early days, because whatever you're feeling, we're right here with you. And speaking of little acts of support, new parents can get a free pack of Aldi Mamiya newborn nappies. Check out netmums.com now. Today I'm joined by someone whose voice and face many of you will recognise, Radio 1 presenter and CBeebies parenting helpline host Katie Thistleton, who is also new mum to baby Reuben. Katie welcomed Reuben with her partner Alex in March earlier this year, and she's been refreshingly open about everything that's come with new motherhood. From baby blues and sleepless nights to that first belly laugh and the magic of watching her little one grow. But Katie's journey hasn't been without challenges. Just 6 weeks after giving birth, she faced emergency surgery on her ovaries, while still deep in those exhausting newborn weeks. She's here to share what she's learned about resilience, recovery, and embracing a new family life. Katie, welcome to Cloud Nine podcast. First off, congratulations on baby Reuben, who was born in March this year.
Thank you very much.
And you've had a lovely spring summer with a newborn, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what a good time to have a baby. I didn't plan it that way, but I really think we smashed it because maternity leave in the spring, summer, ideal. And the nights were just becoming lighter. The mornings were just becoming lighter and everything as we had him, which was, perfect.
And now we're in the dark, deepest dark, cold nights coming up now. With even snow around us as well.
I know, although I'm quite excited for that with a baby. Not that he'll care, but, you know, I could get a good picture of him in it, couldn't I?
So how, I know, I love the sort of Christmas pudding outfits and the snowsuits as well. So how has motherhood treated you so far? How has it been everything you've expected? I know you've had also various dramas thrown in the mix as well, like just like emergency surgery 6 weeks after having birth, that little thing.
That was dramatic.
We'll go into that in a minute, but just generally speaking, your motherhood journey, has it been what you expected, or has it been better than you expected, or...
I don't think I knew what to expect. I'm from a family that are like baby mad, and my sister's got four. My mum's one of nine. My family are baby mad, and for years it was, when are you having a baby? You know, they really sort of wanted me to have a baby, and they've all made it look really easy. and I think I always, like most people, sort of when you're growing up, you've maybe not necessarily considered it properly yet, but I always thought, well, I probably will have kids. I mean, everyone in my family has. It's just what we do. I'm from this big northern family, you know, where there's 100 people in your house at any time. And
I've seen the pictures on Instagram, all the in-laws and the grandparents. It's great. I love it.
Yeah, there's a lot of us. So it kind of like, I have a career in the media, as you do. And I think people tend to start families later in that kind of career because everyone's self-employed. No one can afford a house yet. No one's settled down. And I started... sort of, you know, was creeping up to that mid-30s age, which I think is like the new age to have a baby. There's so many of my friends who are having their first at like 35, because I think it's the age that you maybe go, oh, maybe I should start thinking about this if you've not already.
Yeah, I was the same. Mid-30s.
Yeah. And I got pregnant, and I think I always thought it was going to be hard. So I went into it thinking, this seems really hard, and I was quite worried about it at times, but also really excited. And it's harder than I thought.
Right.
And I think sometimes like my niece has just had a baby. I mean, she's only 3 weeks in. And when I was, you know, I was in a bit of a bubble at that stage. In fact, she's 2 weeks in. She's not even 3 weeks in. And so time may tell, you know, she might not find it as easy as she is. But sometimes I think everyone seems to be finding it so much easier than me. Everyone just seems to be like, yeah, it's great. It's great being a mum, isn't it? And actually, I felt like it really hit me like a ton of bricks. I think the first... that I found really hard. The birth was actually really straightforward. I had a C-section because he was breech. So that was all really straightforward. I found that fine, really. I was quite lucky with that experience. But I know some people really struggle with the pain afterwards. Yeah. That wasn't too bad. But I remember bringing him home the first night, and he just screamed all night, wouldn't go in the crib. Oh. And nothing had really prepared me for that. I honestly blame playing The Sims, Louise, right? Did you ever play The Sims when you were younger?
No.
Babies on The Sims, you just fed them, put them in the crib. Change them, put them in the crib. And I think I thought babies just operated that way. I didn't realise they constantly wanted to be held and they might constantly cry. And so
but then
I really
do they want to be
that
held?
Adjustment.
You know, then it's like, should I be holding them? Should I be rocking them?
Well, exactly.
Should I be rocking
exactly.
them to sleep? Should I be feeding them to sleep? There's so many questions, isn't there?
And actually, yeah, I would say the thing that I found the hardest, if people ask me about it, the sleep, we've got quite unlucky with the sleep, that he is particularly bad still now, even at nearly 9 months. That's hard, of course, but the lack of autonomy, I think I found harder than I thought. Like, I always be needed. Never just having a day where you can just rot on the sofa and watch TV because someone needs you. And then actually, more than anything, I think the thing I found really difficult is that what you just referred to there, the constant, am I doing it right? Should I be doing this? All the information out there, all the stuff on social media, all the chat from people that you know, people in your family, your friends, are constantly thinking, am I doing the right thing? Do I need to do this? So I found it harder than I thought. And I recently said that to my colleague, Jamie Lang, who's about to have a baby. And he keeps reminding me of it. He keeps going, remember when you told me it's harder than you thought? And I keep going, no, I'm so sorry. It's all so amazing.
You love it. It's amazing.
It's great. Because I don't want to scare anyone. I used to hate it when I was pregnant and I saw like posts of mums being really negative. I used to hate it. I used to think, how dare you do this to me? I'm so anxious about it. And now I sort of see why they were being really honest. And now I think there's a fine line between being honest and scaring people. But yeah, in short, I found it harder than I thought, but also, I'm so obsessed with him. He's just the best thing ever, and I love him. And this is how I sum it up to people sometimes, actually. I feel like everything in my life is harder now, but I'm happier. So I don't know why, but for some reason, every single part of my day is harder than it was before, but I'm
more
happier.
Rewarding? Maybe more rewarding?
That must be it. It must do, because actually, the hardest thing in life is feeling like you don't have a purpose, and actually, a baby really does provide you that feeling of purpose. Yeah, it's been both amazing and tricky, but yeah, we're still only 9 months in, so I know that we're relatively fresh to it in the grand scheme of things.
From where I'm sat, you mentioned before your family, your huge family, who I'm sure are great support to you, and then of course you've got following on socials as well. You've got your own community, which I know I've seen that you've reached out to about sleep deprivation or advice or like just even sometimes moral support. So not feeling like you're doing it alone. And that must have been lovely for you to have that community that you could reach out to, because it is hard. We've just established this. It's bloody hard. Joyful, but it's hard. And to have, it's very important, isn't it? Describe to me just how important that felt to you to have that community or have that family support, all these people around you so you're not doing it on your own.
Yeah, really. I mean, amazing. Just couldn't do it without them, could you? Like, you know, they say you need a village, and it's so true. And whatever your village is, you know, you might not have family around you. It might be that your village is nursery, is the mums at baby groups, that sort of thing. I'm really lucky. In fact, you know, my job is in London, and I'm commuting at the moment 3 days a week to London from Manchester because I want to be near my mum and dad so they can have the baby. All my family are up here in Manchester. So that's how much I really value that support, and I need it. You know, just being able to go to work and know that my mum and dad, I mean, they're downstairs right now with him, and they're just incredible with him, and he loves them. And it's so great to know that he's growing up with them. I know that they're going to be loving him all day, kissing him, cuddling him, giving him all this support. I know that it's also great for them. They're in their 70s now, and I think they've looked after many, many kids. And actually, a part of me, I feel guilty all the time. I think they should be enjoying their retirement. But at the same time, I know it's good for them as well to have this fresh, cute little boy around. And so that's really great. And also, yeah, the social media community. I don't think I went into having a baby thinking, oh, great, I've got this community online. But actually, I do have really nice followers. Like, I just think my following is mostly just nice women in their like 20s, 30s, 40s. And yeah, whenever I put something on, I get really nice DMs. It's very rarely that I get something that's not helpful or not nice. It's mostly just lovely support. The other night, in fact, it was last night. It feels like it was a few nights ago, because that's what sleep deprivation feels like. But last night I was having a bit of a meltdown on the train home because I'm so sleep deprived. And I put a couple of posts on my Instagram, and I ended up taking them down because I just had so many replies. I get a bit overwhelmed then because I feel like I want to get back to everyone.
Got to reply to everyone.
Yeah. And of course, you can't reply to everyone. But I feel when people send me these really emotional messages, I feel I want to. So I end up taking them down. but just so many nice supportive messages. And that's been so good, like in the middle of the night, like, you know, when you are up in the middle of the night with the baby. And then it's funny because I did the antenatal classes, the NCT antenatal classes. And loads of people said to me, do the classes, you probably won't need to learn that much. You probably know it all, but it's great to make friends. It's great to make friends. I thought, I don't want any new friends. I don't need any friends. I've got plenty of friends. I don't want any mum friends. I'm not going to be one of those people that's hanging out with mums all the time. But actually, we've got a WhatsApp group and we never stop talking. I speak to those women more than anybody else because you do need other mums in your life. You need other parents in your life, don't you?
Well, I think they're walking side by side, aren't they, with you on this? So, like, when it comes to asking for advice or support, or you just want to moan about a nap schedule or something, it's like that person's living it every second of the day as well. So they're there to listen or empathise or help you.
Totally. And I've spent, you know, on NetMums and other forums and stuff, I have spent so much time, you know, Googling things and on forums and threads. And it's so helpful to just hear, you know, I found one last night that was a woman really despairing about, I think sleep deprivation is going to kill me. And I found it really emotional to read because I was like, oh, that's where I'm at. And then the responses were just so great because people were like, it won't. Look, I had this with my first. I'm on my third now. My first is 10. You won't die. Like, you really need other people to hold your hand through it. Like, you just do. And I always see these posts about, oh, we used to be actually in villages, you know, and women would, we were in tribes and women would have other people holding the baby and we'd all raise children together. And actually now we're a little bit more isolated. So it's important to keep that community up. So, it's been invaluable. People said it would be, but it's even more so than I thought.
I think as well, like, if you think about getting up in the night, like, it's nice to have those people around you and that community and your tribe around you. But in the middle of the night, you can still feel quite alone, can't you, when you're up 8 times? And like I said, we're in the season where it's like gets dark early, you know, the sort of witching hour happens between like 5 and 6 before bedtime.
Yeah.
And then it can feel like you're settling in for quite a long night ahead. In the middle of the night, do you tap into your community on your phone when you're sort of there feeding or rocking in the dark?
Yeah, I do.
What's your coping?
Yeah, recently I've been trying not to go on my phone as much in the night now that he's a bit older, now that he's 9 months and we're just trying to actually get a bit of proper sleep, we're back to work, etc. Because I've found that when I do go on my phone in the night, that just wakes me up a little bit more.
Right.
But actually earlier on when, you know, at the start when babies are just, they're just awake anytime, asleep anytime, eat, feed at any time, that there's no schedule, is there? I don't think I've ever been so good at like responding to people. People are like, God, you're really good at getting back to messages. They just had a baby. And I'm like, yeah, because this baby's just always asleep on me. And I just have the Kardashians on and a bag of mini eggs next to me because I had the baby in mini eggs season, of course.
Sounds true.
And I just, it was great. I just sit on my phone and reply to people and go on Instagram and go on TikTok. And I found that really helpful. And I have sort of in these night feeds kind of gone on and seen a message from another mum saying, oh, I'm up, kind of thing, and I put on before, like, anyone up? And someone's like, oh yeah, I am. And you just feel so much better. I don't know if you've ever seen, have you seen that picture that people share, and it's of like a mum being like, I feel so alone in the middle of the night, and then it shows like all the lights on in all the different houses all over the world, you know, all over the time zone, because
everyone's
so many mums doing up what you're doing.
3 a.m. club, And you mentioned before about like the change in your expectations of motherhood as well. Like, you never expected it to be so hard. You returned to work, didn't you, a few months ago after 6 months maternity leave. How has that shifted your job as a mum, and you're also now a working mum, but, and like you say, you've got your commute 3 times a week, you must be exhausted, but loving it as well.
I am. It's funny, someone replied to my story the other night saying, I have the same sleep situation as you, but I'm still on maternity leave, I don't know how you're doing it with work. And I thought, you know what, I think work is why I'm actually all right, because it keeps me energized, and especially a job like this, as you all know, you can't kind of just slump about and kind of be tired. You kind of got to go in and have a bit of energy. And I'm really lucky that I've got a job on Radio 1 that is so fun. And I work with people who are so inspiring and motivating. You know, Jamie Lang is just a ball of energy. Yeah. He comes in, he's running 6 businesses at the same time of doing the radio show. And Vic Hope is equally absolutely incredible, but she's off on maternity leave at the moment.
I know. Really, well, I was going to say, you're in quite good company, aren't you? Not just in terms of professionalism, but also like all these new parents around you as well to swap
notes. We literally all have had babies at the same time. Everyone's been like, what's going on in that studio? Yeah. Don't sit on that chair. And I've got a guy called Jerry with me at the moment, Jeremiah Asiyama, who's covering for Vic's maternity leave. And he is also just a ball of energy. And so I get in there and we're playing great music and it's all fast paced and it really wakes me up. So actually I found that really good, but I do miss him. There's a couple of days a week, Tuesdays and Wednesdays are the longest time away from him because my parents have him at their house, so I have to drop him off there, which takes longer. And then also on Wednesdays, I'm recording an ECBB's podcast. So that's quite a long day. And oh man, I miss him so much. When it gets to the Thursday, I'm desperate for that time with him. But then I have Fridays off. I'm just like, my mom and dad sent me videos. And I'm like, oh God, look at him. He's so cute. But then I have Fridays off and I used to do a lot of other work. And what's been hard actually, returning to work, is being a freelancer as well, having to sort of turn down some work opportunities to have that work life balance, which is hard because as a freelancer, your programs just go, yes. You know, it feels terrible to say no to something. But I'm really protecting my weekends, my Fridays, Saturdays, Sundays, because Fridays I have off just with my son. It's just me and mummy and Reuben Fridays. Then I have the weekend with my husband and the baby. And by the end of Sunday, I'm like, yeah, do you know what? My cup is filled. I feel like I've had loads of time with him and I'm ready for work again. So it feels like a really nice balance. And people think I'm mad doing the commute, but actually those trains, I get to have a sleep. It's so funny. I get on the train. I have wet hair. I've like just about managed to shower before he starts screaming. I get on the train with wet hair and on that train I have a nap, I pump breast milk, I do my makeup, I do my hair, I have some really good wireless hair straighteners that I bought especially that are rechargeable ones, and I step off that train a completely different woman and go to work with this and nothing's ever happened.
You sound like you got it down. You should release some like working mum's guide or something, guidebook with all the hacks to get into work looking human again.
I mean, I'm always late. I was late to this podcast today. I'm always late. I'm always kind of like, rushing in and eating on the go. Like that's been my mission this week, is to try and eat healthily on the go, because for the first month or so, I was just like, if you have to have a bacon roll on the Avanti West Coast, then that's not the end of the world. And now I'm like, okay, let's try and get some healthy eating habits.
I remember those early days where you're just snatching food just to fuel yourself and like fuel the calories that you need rather than actually getting.
I used to just eat biscuits over his head, like in the newborn days. Like I remember I'd just grab a packet of biscuits and just have them next to me and I'd just get stuck in that trap and I would just be eating biscuits like over his head and dropping crumbs on him and just brushing them off.
I got addicted to Serene Loaf. Like with a big thick coat of butter on the top.
I love it. Also
because it didn't crumble too much. So when I was breastfeeding, I could just literally inhale it and it was like sweet and gooey.
That's actually quite a good one because it's, well, this tagline is squidgy energy, isn't it? So actually it does give you energy. And I tell you, that breastfeeding hunger is like nothing else. Yeah. I was terrible anyway. I'm terrible sweet tooth.
Yeah.
And I tell you what I'm terrible with at the moment is the Coke Zero. But this, I've just gone to my fridge to get a Coke Zero to try and pick me up. I've only got caffeine free in. So this isn't doing me any good. This is just placebo. No.
So we mentioned before, just to go back right to those early days, that it has been quite, you know, we're saying all the fun stuff like the hair straighteners and the caffeine drinks to top us up and all that. And that's all great and it's all true. But it has been an emotional journey for you because we mentioned before you were in surgery 6 weeks after coming out of hospital from a cesarean birth. Yeah. And you were there for an ovarian cyst that had been discovered and needed to be removed. And then you've got the recovery as well as looking after a newborn. And so it must have all been quite an emotional journey for you these early months.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's funny because I've always kind of struggled with anxiety and bouts of depression. And so I sort of thought, oh, well, I really struggle postpartum with my mental health. And then it's funny, a friend of mine who's also always struggled in that way said to me, well, I thought that, but I didn't get any postnatal depression. So I thought, oh, I'll probably be like her. I'll probably already be equipped because I've had therapy, I'm on antidepressants, etc. But then actually it was around like week three, I think, that it hit me hard. Like I can barely even remember it now, but I was just really, really low. I was crying every day. I could barely have a conversation without crying. I remember, like, me and my husband would go for walks, we'd go to the pub, and I couldn't even start a conversation. You know, I'd start a question asking him what we're having for tea or something, and I couldn't say it without crying. Aww. And it did feel really visceral and hormonal. And I did think, is this the baby blues? Is this a hormonal dip? But then when I saw my doctor, she was like, well, the baby blues, I was reading up on it, you know, looking up online, baby blues usually go about 2 weeks. So mine started at 3 weeks.
Mm.
So actually they classed that then as postnatal depression. So I went to the doctors and they did say it was postnatal depression, and I upped my antidepressant. I'd reduced it to get pregnant anyway. Mm-hmm. So I upped it back to what it used to be, and I almost immediately felt better.
But now
I'm like, could it have been hormonal still? You know, if I'd given it some time, would it have just gone? Could it have been all the anesthetic I was on and everything? There's just so much, isn't there? If you've had pain relief and then you've also, been pregnant and then you're not pregnant anymore. And then there's some people say that with a C-section, perhaps it can be a bit different as well, because your body's not gone through the natural birth process.
No, and it's trauma as well. You're having surgery. Yeah. I think people forget that C-sections are actually... They're a traumatic surgical process.
It's kind of seen as the easy option, isn't it? And then when I was on that table, and you know, I'm absolutely in no pain whatsoever because you can't feel anything. But I distinctly remember feeling them moving my body around, and I remember thinking, "Wow, this is a hardcore surgery." Mm. I remember seeing the surgeon, and I remember thinking, "I can't even imagine what's going on down there." Is extreme, actually, but because it's done all the time to bring life into the world, we just say, oh, just another C-section. You know, they've done four that day before me, those people. And I was thinking, it's incredible what these surgeons are doing, and that is a hardcore operation. And then I recovered from a C-section, and what's funny is something I've always really found good for my mental health when I've been at my lowest is getting in my car and driving around with music on. There's just something about driving around in my car that always makes me feel really good about myself. And so I hated that for 6 weeks I couldn't drive. I really felt like my independence had kind of been stripped. And I was just about, so I was like a few days off. I was like, I can't wait to drive. And then the emergency surgery happened, and then I couldn't drive again for months. And I was like, no. And when I eventually drove my car, I went to the dentist. And honestly, I was the happiest person you've ever seen in your life. I was like blasting the tune,
I'm going off to the dentist.
Honestly, I was on such a high that day. The sun was shining. I had the tunes on. I was like, this is great. I was like to my husband, should I go to McDonald's? I go around the drive-thru. I just felt amazing. But the surgery thing, the emergency surgery, I'd had a cyst on my ovary, basically. When I was about 20 weeks pregnant, I was in really awful pain one day. Just the worst pain I could ever possibly imagine, down on my right side in that area. And I went into hospital and they scanned me, but they couldn't see my ovaries because the baby was in the way. They didn't want to do an MRI because I was pregnant. And they basically just put me in a load of pain relief. I stayed in overnight. I went away and I went home, and they said it was probably, one person said it was probably trap wind. And I was thinking, this is not trap wind.
No.
One nurse was like, are you sure it wasn't trap wind? And I was like, this was not trap wind.
I wish it was.
Honestly, I can't. A trap wing can be extremely painful in pregnancy. I did have that a lot, but this pain I was in was unbelievable. I was just constantly throwing up from the pain. I was sweating.
Oh my gosh.
I can't even tell you. I mean, I put this on my Instagram, and the Daily Mail didn't ask and wrote it in there. My mum was like, do you have to say that? I was like, if they come to me and said, we've got a gun, and we can just take you out.
I saw that line. Yeah.
I'd have gone, yes. I'd have gone, just put me down like a dog, please, because I can't
go.
So
painful.
So anyway, that happened on a random day in pregnancy. And then I felt better and went home, and it never happened again. And one of the doctors did say it could be that you might have a cyst on your ovary that's twisted your ovary, and then it might have twisted back.
Right. So
that was the working theory. Then, 6 weeks, nearly 6 weeks after having Reuben, I go and get in the shower, and it just comes on so fast. I felt a dull ache down there. And then before I knew it, I'd got out of the shower, and the same thing. I was pouring the sweat. I was being sick. I was in this agony. It was the same thing, the exact same feeling. And I remember I was on the phone to the doctor, and the doctor was like, we can see you in 2 days. And I thought, I need to go to the AE. And I went downstairs to my husband. I was like, I'm on the phone to the doctor. And he was like, I think you need to go to AE, like as soon as he saw me. And luckily, because I was only 5 weeks postpartum, I was still under the maternity service. So I went in there, which was great, because the hospital I gave birth at are so fantastic. And they got me in, and just the worst day of my life of being in that horrendous pain. And the worst thing was I kept throwing up the pain relief. They kept giving me morphine. I was throwing it up. And then they were saying, we can't give you any more. And I was like, I promise, like, there's nothing in me. I've thrown it all up. It was horrific. And then my husband bringing in the baby, and I was like breastfeeding him. And I kept having to throw him back to my husband.
God,
be sick.
You champion. Oh my God. The things we have to do.
Oh, it was awful. And then they took me for an MRI scan, and they said it's a massive cyst. I remember this midwife, she crouched down next to me, and she went, I mean, they have to look at it. I'm not an expert reading the scans, but she was like, but I've seen it's a massive cyst, and it's twisted your ovary and your fallopian tubes. And I just burst into tears because I was so thankful they'd found it.
Thankful rather than scared.
Thankful, yeah. Well, I remember I was like, thank God you know what it is, because I was so scared that that pain just wasn't going to go away. And then so they were like, right, we need to operate on that tonight to try and save your ovary. Then I was scared. Then when the surgeons were coming in and they were saying, you know, sign this waiver as they do, and we might have to remove your ovaries if it, you know, if it's damaged them. And, you know, that was really scary, obviously, because I would like another baby, and you know, so that's not nice for them to come in. And obviously they do all the chat that they have to do with every surgery, where they say, oh, your bowel's quite near and your bladder's quite near, and, you know, this could get damaged. This could
cover them.
So you're sort of being put to sleep thinking, am I going to wake up with any heart stress? And then luckily, yeah, I remember I woke up, and before I'd even got a chance to speak to anyone, I still remember coming round all woozy, and I said to the doctor, I was like, have you got my phone? And he brought me my phone, and I looked at my phone, and my husband had texted and said, oh my God, they've just rang me to hospital, and they've said it was successful and your ovaries are fine. And I was like, oh,
what a relief. And then recovery part two happens back at
recovery
home.
Part two, which was much worse than the C-section recovery, actually. But then my niece has just had a baby and found the C-section recovery really tough, so I don't want to invalidate anyone who has had a C-section, found it really hard. But I think I got quite lucky with it. I had a couple of days, you know, where I was struggling to pick up the baby and struggling to get out of bed. But I think I did quite well with that, whereas the recovery from the ovary op was brutal. Mm. But mainly because of the wind. You know, when you have they pump your stomach with gas.
Yes, I remember that. Mm.
My God, it was horrendous, just the gas. Mm. And then I remember, I mean, it's terrible detail, sorry, but then I remember the day that the gas was just all coming out of me.
It's real. No, I remember calling the consultant in going to show my stomach, going, is this normal?
It's crazy. And the pain, so the gas causes you, and the shoulder pain, you know, you get like shoulder pain, and it's because something to do with a nerve down in that area is linked to your shoulder. And it was just a crazy time. But you know, when something like that happens, you're just then so grateful. I think in a weird way it made me so thankful for my home life, which I was actually finding really hard at that time. I was finding home life with the baby really hard. But then actually in hospital I was only in for a night, but I was like, right, get me home to my baby, get me home to my own bed, even though I'm never in it. So I think it actually made me really appreciate normal life.
And it's not put you off thinking about having another baby either.
Well, I don't know. The only thing that's putting me off at the moment is the lack of sleep more than anything.
Lack of sleep.
I saw a meme the other day that was like, when you want to give your child a sibling, but then you'd have to go through pregnancy and postpartum again. Postpartum, and I was thinking, oh God. Yeah.
So life is very different now post baby. And sometimes, you know, we've had our challenges, but generally we like to think in a good way it's changed, like you said. But there's quite often we feel a pressure as well on ourselves to be that same person again as pre-baby, whether it be around our appearance or around our social life or our personality. Do you feel like you've felt any pressure to be pre-baby Katie again, whether it be, I know you spend a lot of time with your skincare, for example, don't you? And also gorgeous when you're there doing your hosting or any work. Have you felt like that's just more like a fun thing, or is that something you feel pressure to do? Or how's it been for you, like rediscovering your identity again post all not just the birth, but the surgery you had as well?
I think before I had him, I think me and a lot of my friends would sometimes kind of And it seems awful now, but I think like we'd sometimes look at our friends who were mums and almost speak about them in a bit of a way of like, oh, you know, they're just obsessed with being mums now. They're mums now. All they talk about is the kid. They don't do anything. And actually, you know, I look back and I think that there's this really negative way that we speak about mums in society that I think is probably completely rooted in misogyny. And actually, now I am a mum, I think, wow, I can really see why everyone feels the way they do and why you actually have no choice but to completely surrender into being this new person. I honestly do think the biggest lie that you're told, I saw Sian Welby say this the other day, that the biggest lie you're told is that the baby fits around you. And she's so right, because I really don't think that's true. And I think actually you're maybe not a good parent if you're just expecting your life to be exactly the same as it was before, because of course it's completely transformed by this baby. And I think that one of the most freeing things for me has been acceptance and has been surrendering and just going, okay, everything's different now, but it's okay. And actually it might only be temporary. So yeah, the way I do my hair and makeup in a mad rush on the train now is different. My relationship is different now. You know, we're roommates at the moment. It's different. We used to be so lovey-dovey and soppy with each other, and now all of that goes in the baby. I come in the room and I go, oh, to the baby. I used to do that to my husband. You know, yeah, that's changed, but that's the area of life we're in. My friendships are different now. We're not going out drinking late at night. Like, if I'm going to see them, I am bringing the baby. And that's kind of just the way it is. And I am sort of probably seeing my mum friends more for that reason, because they don't mind if I'm half an hour late. I don't mind if they're half an hour late. We know that we're going to have to leave when one of the kids starts kicking off. But yeah. And I think trying to fight those changes is harder than just going with them. And I think just being like, actually, everything has changed now. That's okay. Is the best way to be. And I found that the most freeing thing, really. So it's something so little, but like, I love just watching TV in the evenings. That is always, but I'm a TV addict.
I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
I'm happy with that.
Yeah. I like to just sit and watch TV in the evening. That's gone away in the same way that it used to, in that me and my husband would, you know, cook a nice meal or maybe get a takeaway at the weekend and sit and watch hours and hours of a drama.
Yeah.
And that's gone away, you know, because we have a particularly bad sleeper as well. So he doesn't go down in the crib at 7 p.m. and sleep at 7 a.m. like some of the Instagram babies. He is awake, you know, constantly, really, you know, every sort of hour he's waking up. And especially early evening, he won't really go down in the crib until sort of about like 10 p.m. He'll sleep on us, but he won't really sleep in the crib. So that's just completely gone away. Our evenings are taken up sort of having our dinner on our own, you know, one of you holds the baby, the other eats the dinner.
One reheating around. The dinner, one...
Yeah, my husband hasn't had a warm dinner since he was born, basically. And actually, I found that really, really tough at first, that my routine wasn't the same. And as soon as I went, oh my God, just get into it. Like, now is not the time to you're not going to be up to date with traitors. You're just not. Okay.
No.
You've spent 36 years of your life watching TV and then I look at my mum and dad who are retired and they would have all the time in the world to watch TV and sleep if they weren't looking after my son every day, but generally have all the time in the world to watch TV and sleep. And I'm like, that will come back. One day my son will be doing his own thing and I'll have all the time in the world to watch Line of Duty and sleep, but
yeah,
it's not
and then you can
right
watch
now.
It all in one go, which is super pleasurable. I remember like there was about 3 or 4 years where I didn't go to the theater or the cinema. I mean, when I was pregnant and when I had a baby, I did the mother and baby screenings, but then there was about 3 or 4 years where I hadn't a clue like which Oscar nominated or films were coming out or like on the cinema or what was happening in the West End, because I could never get to like a 7 o'clock theatre ever, because obviously that's bedtime for the kids and stuff. But it does come back. I can tell you that now.
Yeah,
speaking from experience now they're older, it does come back. So there is light at the end of the tunnel. And obviously now you move into an older phase, speaking to you and hearing about those nights, even though they're really annoying when you're in it and you're having these broken meals and swapping forkfuls with each other and whatnot for a night. It's almost like you know, I look back now with rose-tinted glasses at those moments. They are lovely.
But we just do, don't we? I mean, I even look back on those newborn days now when actually I was really struggling and really romantically and think like, oh, isn't it? It's just so lovely to be up all hours. And, you know, I look back at that and this is why there's the Just You Wait Brigade, isn't there? And I know that people hate it, and I do as well, when people go, just you wait, just you wait. You think it's hard now, it's going to get harder. I find that, I think that's so, so unhelpful. And I always say to people, in my opinion so far, that is not true. It's only got easier. And I can see why people, but I think what happens is we look back with rose-tinted glasses and we go, when they were a newborn, they just slept all the time. So they wake up frequently, but they do just sleep. They're not crawling around. Yeah. They're not running around. You don't have to chase after them. They're not
throwing back at you like teenagers.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't have to worry about where they are. They're just there. Yeah. So, of course, as they get older, there's different challenges. Mm. But for me, just especially with your first, I think, I mean, I might feel different with the second, but just that shock of becoming a parent.
Yes, the shift
was so much.
Changing lifestyle. Yeah.
The shift to just being needed constantly. And also the crying. I think I just don't really deal very well with crying. It really upsets me.
When it's your own baby crying, it's like, it's like stabbing the heart, isn't it?
Awful. So for me, I think it has only got easier. And so I always say, don't listen to people when they do the just you wait. Because also you're more used to being a parent. I think you just completely, you adapt, don't you? So yeah, I can't remember why I brought up the just you wait thing now. What were we saying?
I think we were just saying about the phases.
Rose-tinted glasses.
Yeah.
Already I look back and think, oh yeah, God, it would be easier if he was just sleeping all the time now, like he was a newborn. But then that bit.
But the thing is, in that first year, 80 months, 2 years, the phases are so quick. Like the turnover of those phases are so quick compared to when they get older. Like, you know, a new phase comes in another year or 80 months. But in those early days, every month is like a new phase. And I think that's the other thing when you say about the shift in your lifestyle, you're shifting every month almost in those early days, because you've shifted to become a new parent, but then the turnover of those new phases are quite rapid, and so you're having to pivot constantly with new routines and new ways to deal with things. Or
you are, and I keep having to remind myself, if he's having a particularly bad week where he's really whingy or something,
it'll be different next week.
It'll be different next week. He had a week recently where he screamed in the car seat constantly, which was fun, and he's always been quite good in the car seat. And then that stops now. He's not screaming in the car seat anymore, you know. And so I have to remind myself, you know, this isn't, these things are phases and they're not forever. Like my mum and dad will have him, like I say, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, feel like I don't see too much of him. And they'll be like, oh, he's staying. The other day they were like, he's staying tree now, and I was like, well, he's not staying tree, is it? He's 9 months old. But they were like, if you say to him, where's the tree, he looks up at the tree and goes, tch. And sure enough, she was right, he does, he goes, tch, and looks up at this tree. So they'll have him for a few days and they'll say he's doing this thing now, and he will be, and then over that weekend I'll observe it and I'll be like, god, just in 3 days he developed this new skill. He's learning so much from my mum and dad as well, which is really sweet. They really, like, you know, they're really encouraging him to talk. They've got him dancing in the it's very cute. I mean, they're singing old songs to him, but it's all right.
I think those new discoveries, like the smiles, the first belly laughter, the rollover, the face plant, all those sorts of different funny things and discoveries that they do are the sort of, those really golden sort of magical moments, aren't they?
So gorgeous. It's so funny. I said to Jamie Lang the other day, he's always saying to me, like, is it all right? Is it good? You know? And I said, it's amazing. I said, this weekend he started crawling now. So we just, for hours, he was just crawling from me to Alex, from Alex to me, from me to Alex, back to me. And he went, that sounds rubbish. He was like, is that the good bit? Like, I'm sorry to say, that's the good bit of parenting. But you will also love that when it's his son. Like, he'll be like, oh my God, my son. I used to laugh, like, if I saw somebody post, like, I'm so proud of my little baby. And they were like 6 months old, like, or one or something. I used to think, he's not done his GCSEs, has he? What are you proud of? He's not done anything. And then literally the second Ruben did anything, I was like, oh my God, he turned his head. I'm so proud. He's so advanced.
And just to finish off, if we were to sort of reflect for a moment and you were to go back to Katie in those early weeks after bringing Reuben home, what would be your words or advice to her if you could go back to those early weeks and whisper something in her very, very tired faced ear?
I would say just give it a minute. Because I think as a person, I problem solve and I go, something's not right in my life and this needs sorting out now. And so I think I panicked and I thought, I can't do this. I'm not built for this. This isn't for me. I've made a terrible mistake. You know, I'm not well equipped to be a mother like my mom and my sister and all these other people that I know. This is too hard. And actually just give it a minute, because after a few weeks, I was fine. And after a few months, I was more than fine. I was loving it. And now I'm really, really happy, you know, and it's hard, but I'm really, like I said, every bit of my life is harder, but I'm happier.
Yeah.
And he's just amazing. I'm obsessed with him.
And stronger, right? You're a strong woman. You've created a human.
Like, women are so, like, all the women in my family are so tough. My sister, my mom, my aunties, like, my mom's one of nine, and it's seven of them? No, six of them are women. And you wouldn't mess with a single one of them. Like, they are tough.
Amazing.
And now I really see why, like, women of a certain age are hard as nailed, because motherhood makes you that way. And yeah, it does make you feel like you could absolutely do anything. It makes you feel invincible. You feel a real sense of achievement, don't you, when you get through those tough bits. When I make it to work, you know, after the morning's been an absolute shambles, I feel really good about myself. So it's great. So I'd say just give it a minute, it gets better. And that's what I keep saying to people. Loads of people around me have had babies recently with newborns, and I'm like, it gets better. And they're all just fine. And I'm like, why are you fine? Why did I find you?
Tell me your problems. Tell me your problems. I'm here to listen.
I'm like, what? But then I'm also aware that, you know, so I'm quite honest on my social media, on my Instagram stories. Yeah. But I'm also aware that if you looked at my posts, you would think I was driving, you know, because I'm putting pictures on in the studio with my hair and makeup done and I'm turning up to work in London every day. So actually, I do know that even though I'm looking at these other people thinking, why are they all finding it so easy? I'm not seeing the behind the scenes. I'm not seeing when they're crying at 4 a.m. and that will be going on for all these people.
Yeah, which we all do. Katie, I think you're an absolute queen.
Oh,
mom.
You too.
And you've been an absolute pleasure to chat to. And I'm sure there's lots that you've said during this podcast that will resonate with so many new mums out there and hopefully be a support to them as well. So thank you.
Thank you. Mums are incredible. And yeah, I knew that anyway because my mum is amazing. But like, yeah, amazing what people have to do. Thank you so much, Louise.
All right, take care. Katie, thank you so much for joining us and for being so open. Your honesty about the highs and lows of new motherhood is such a comfort to anyone listening tonight. And to everyone tuning in, whether you're feeding, folding up never-ending laundry, or just taking a deep breath, remember, you're doing an amazing job, even on the tough days. We're all in this together. You can read more from Katie's chat and find expert advice on postnatal wellbeing at netmoms.com. And don't forget, you can claim your free pack of Aldi Mamiya newborn nappies there too. Thank you to Aldi Mamiya, the award-winning baby range loved by parents, for supporting today's episode. And to everyone listening, if you enjoyed this chat, hit follow, leave a review, and come join the Netmoms community. I'm Louise Burke, and this was Cloud 9. See you next time.